Okay, thank you very much for joining for the Thursday Night Parsha Shir. There is so much stuff in the Oznayim LaTorah this week, so many amazing ideas. We're just going to touch the tip of the iceberg here in terms of what he has to explain. We're going to begin with Moshe Rabbeinu's humility. To be a Jewish leader, the most important criteria, the most important characteristic, I should say, to have is to be humble. And the Oznayim LaTorah develops this idea extensively in the parsha. It starts in Perek Gimel. This is, of course, the Perek where Hashem reveals himself to Moshe and the Sneh. Anyway, Hashem reveals himself to Moshe and the Sneh, and then Moshe Rabbeinu, he tells him, listen, you're the man. I see all of Klal Yisrael's it's time for them to leave, and you're the man. You're the one who's gonna take them out. And Moshe Rabbeinu's first response is in Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph. Mi Anochi. It's on page 36 in this edition. Mi Anochi Keilech El Paro. Who am I? Who am I to go? So, I'm going to read it into Hebrew. Hold on 1 second. So he says. So this the Oznayim LaTorah points. Points at right. Kishana Moshe. Second. Mi Anochi. Hainu Shehu Choshev Es Atzmo Le'enu Mesugal. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at himself as someone completely not capable. I'm not going to Paro. I'm not taking the Jews out. From this point and on in Moshe's life, we see his incredible humility. His incredible humility that comes out in so many different ways. We know that the famous pasuk he quotes him in Baal Oscha, V'ha'ish Moshe, Anov Ma'od Mikol Adam Ashal Pnei Adama, right? The pasuk addresses Moshe Rabbeinu. Shehu Mechusar Havana. One can't understand this. Ki Eich Chashav Moshe Esatzim Adam Yosef Shafal Sheba Olam. Halo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masalo Gulas Yisrael V'Kabbalas HaTorah. How can it be that Moshe Rabbeinu honestly really thought himself as a nothing when God himself selected him to take all the Jews out of Egypt and to give the Torah? How can he really still think of himself like a nothing? Says the Oznayim LaTorah. If you look at the next couple of psukim, Parsha Shmos, you'll see. Let's understand. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu's humility come from? How did he develop it? What was it all about? What was his humility really? God himself told him, you're the man to go out of Egypt. How could he have thought of himself as a nothing? Like was he stupid? Like he couldn't figure it out? So he responds. So first he says, "Vayomer ki eyeh imach." So first of all, Hashem says to him, "I'm going to be with you." Kishana Moshe mi anochi, says the Rav Saratskin. Kishana Moshe mi anochi, lo ratza Hashem lo malo. When Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Like who am I? I'm a zero." So God didn't want to tell him, "You're not a zero. You're actually the greatest Jew who ever lived, and the greatest Jew who ever will live." So God didn't want to say that to him. You're actually the greatest specimen of Homo sapiens that was ever created. I got more news for you. If you don't do it, there's no one else who could do it. You're the only person that could possibly give the Torah to the Jewish people. There's no one else. But he didn't say that. Because he was afraid maybe that taka would get to Moshe's head. He'd become arrogant. And he would become somebody that it would let him get to his head. I don't know if it was me and God told me, by the way, you're the guy who I want to go take people out of Egypt. I'd probably feel pretty good about myself. What did Hashem say? He didn't say, no, you're amazing.
That's a lot of pressure.
Exactly. He didn't say, you're amazing. He said, I'm going to be with you. Ki eyeh imach. Even though in your mind, based on your words, you think you're not roi, don't decline the shlichus. Kichen hamida sheli l'shtamish b'shivrei kelim. Because, don't worry, I know you're a piece of garbage. I know you're a zero, worthless piece of nothing. But that's my way, Hashem says. I do my work with worthless garbage pieces of nothing, with shivrei kelim. As the pasuk says, Karov Hashem l'nishberei lev. God is close to those people who have a broken heart. Lev nishbar v'nidke elokim lo sivze. A broken heart, God will never push away. V'shifluscha, he asib l'chin alzu. It's exactly the fact that you are a piece of nothing. That's exactly why you're the perfect person for the job, he says. Dafka, because you're a zero. V'shifluscha, your lowliness, at least your lowliness in your eyes, he asib l'bechir n'alzu. Ke'eyeimcha, dafka b'cha b'charti, u'b'shvil she'eyeimcha tatzliach. You really are low and incompetent, according to your own, but I'm going to be with you. So he didn't tell him, no, you're really great, because he didn't want it to get to his head. He says, I know you're a zero, but don't worry, I'm going to be there with you. And then he continues very beautifully. And this, all the Mefarshim struggle with the next pasuk. And this is the symbol that you're the right guy. In a few months from now, I'm going to give the Torah on this mountain that we're on over here, because the snow was burning on Har Sinai. That's where it was. Says that was Naim Torah. Even though maybe you think you're not roy for this, you see that I use lowly pieces of garbage to do my work. I'm using this mountain, which is also a lowly piece of nothing, to do my work. This is the sign that I like to choose small, insignificant things with which to do my job. I didn't choose these lofty mountains. I like to inhabit lowly people. So don't decline this shlichus, even though you want to say mi anochi. A little bit more, even on the same theme, he even expands this even more. V'zelachos, the next piece over here. Makshim, listen to this beautiful kashya. Everybody asks this kashya. What's the sign? The sign is in the future such a thing going to happen. What kind of sign is that? How does Moshe even know it's going to happen? What does it mean? And this is the sign that in 3 months from now, you're gonna, how's that a sign? What kind of sign is that? Hasn't happened yet. And if he would actually believe in God, he wouldn't need the sign. He explains, there's a medrash that says like this: God looked for all the generations until he found the right one that's going to accept the Torah. And God measured all the nations until he found the nation that was going to accept the Torah. And God measured all the mountains until he found the mountain to give the Torah on. Yalkut Shimoni. And when Moshe Rabbeinu happened to come to this mountain, this was the preparation for the Olam Shel Torah, which is going to be built on the remnants of the world of nothingness that was before it. And he says people who build castles have to measure the place and have to prepare. The architect has to prepare the plans that on this place they're going to build the king's castle. And Hashem did the same thing. So first thing he did is he had to shine a light on this mountain. What was the light? The burning bush. The burning bush is the light that Hashem is shining on. Let's see the place that it's going to happen. Panas, he says here. Panas is a flashlight. Esasna boer. Laos. That's the sign that this is the mountain. Like it was like a lighthouse. He put a light on the mountain to say, this is where it's all going to go down. And we're going to build a new world. At this moment that the receiver of the Torah comes to the mountain of the Torah and God shines a light, and Moshe, who goes to see this Mara Gadol, he accepted Hashem's statement. He's giving a different pshat now, right? First pshat is, this mountain, the fact that it's the smallest mountain, is the raya that you're the right dude. Because I like small, and that was the first pshat. But now he says a different pshat. No.
the fact that you just arrived at this mountain and I lit this thing on fire, and this is going to be the mountain that's going to happen. Look what just happened here. You showed up at this mountain, the fire went on, and this is going to be the mountain. So the fact that these three things just happened at the same time, this is the raya that you're the guy who's going to give the Torah on Har Sinai. Sharayachan and Biyoska Lahar, just when you got to this mountain, the Shekhinah came down in a fire into the Sneh as a sign. So now, this is the preparation that everyone is going to, this mountain is going to be prepared for Kabbalah HaTorah. Har Elokim, V'isha Elokim, all we need is the nation. Haroi Losis Savara Ba'al HaTorah, all we need is the nation ready to take the Torah. V'hu, and this is, it's rubbed out over here, this is what he said to them, B'hotzi Achas Ami Mitzrayim, all we need is for you to take the people out of Egypt. And the Yushlam Binyan Olam Shel Torah, that will build the Olam Shel Torah. The Ha'os Shel Sne Boer, Eino, the Eino Ukal Hu Os, the burning bush which doesn't get consumed, that's the sign. Shera'a Moshe Bosa Shah, V'lo Os Sheyeh Ba'asid. No, it's according to this shot, it's not that the future Matan Torah is going to be a sign. No, the burning bush right now is the sign that I'm coming down on the mountain to tell you. It's the sign for what you're going to do in the future. V'gili ha-shechina be'etz namuch ve'eno oseh peri. And the revelation of the Shechina in a small bush that does not, it's a thorn bush that doesn't really create peros. Odedus Moshe lahamin. This is what caused Moshe to believe that God chooses very simple things. The fact that God showed up in a bush, a meaningless little fruitless bush, is a raya that Hashem chooses small, insignificant things. Not the Har Sinai, but the bush, the zoo, Haisa Sibas an Visanusa Hamufrezes. And this was already the beginning of the reason for Moshe's humility. How did he become so humble? Because God didn't say, no, you're the man, you're amazing. No! The mountain is the lowest mountain, the bush is the least significant bush. This is where Moshe got his incredible humility. So, one of the important lessons here is that leadership by Jews is not given to the people who are, you know, the big, grandiose, mighty public figures who have charisma since they're, you know, who are like these. Usually those people you have to be very careful about. Those people who like come across as like these demagogues, who's like these amazing, you know, you have to be very careful about people like that. And unfortunately, we see sometimes that people who like come across as full of themselves, you know, they end up being problematic in various ways. We believe that true Jewish leaders are supposed to be humble. They're supposed to think of themselves as zero. I mean, I'm thinking of like every time I hear Rabbi Schechter talk, you know, I remember, maybe I think Shirley was probably there, but So the Beis Knesses in North Woodmere asked me to come speak when Rabbi Leibowitz celebrated, I think, his 1,000th shiur on YU Torah. This was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago. What? 3,000? 3,000. Okay, his 3,000th shiur. So Rav Schechter's there. So who are the guest speakers? Me and Rav Schechter are the guest speakers. Okay. So, oh, I say whatever I say. Rav Schechter says something like, all my students, they accomplish so much more than me. I'm over here and I'm saying, look at this three, and he was referring to me like, this guy's got a whole yeshiva, and he's got, look at what have I accomplished in the world, you know. And like, with most people, you think, oh, he just doesn't get it. He really doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. He really doesn't view himself as someone who's like accomplished. Shechti's like, the Gadol Hadar. You can't mention me in the same sentence as the dirt that's under his toenails. And yet, you know, real great people do not, you know, think of themselves as, and this is Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest prophet who ever lived. He was extreme in his humility. And humility is such an important midah, comes up all the time. Okay, there's so much stuff to talk about here. Okay, let's go a little bit backwards. The other beautiful piece that I saw over here, there's a bunch of beautiful pieces. In one of his beautiful pieces, and I thought this is interesting because you know that Rav Sarotzkin was certainly a card-carrying member of the Haredi community. And he goes on and on here in the parasha about the strength of the women and how the women are the ones who really got everything rolling to get the Jews out of Egypt. So let's go back and talk about the women a little bit. I found it very interesting. Here he goes. It's in Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. It's on page 18 here. So, second. Actually, it's Pasuk Dalet, I apologize. Page 16. So, Miriam. So, what happens over here? First of all, Yocheved and Amram give birth to baby Moshe. They send him out there. And Bas Paro finds him. So Moshe Rabbeinu's sister Miriam is going to watch from far away. She's watching. Says Naim Torah. What's she watching about? What's going on with her watching? So he says like this. Says, here we go. Beparshazu, Kimo Beparsha Akodemus. In this paragraph, just like in the previous paragraph, we see time and time again when it comes to the exodus from Egypt, the beginnings of the exodus, we see the strength of the Jewish woman. Dafka in the merit of the women, that's the reason we were zocha to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Right? We know the Gemara says, right, bezchus nashim tzidkanios, right? It was because of the women that we were merited. So who's the first one? Hamialdos. So he has a lot to talk about. Again, I don't have time now to talk about it, but the Mialdos, Shifra and Pua, Paro said they should kill the kids. They refused to kill the kids. They risked their lives. Didn't kill the kids. So first of all, the women who stood up to Paro and didn't listen to the decree, that was women. Women number one. They put their own lives in danger not to listen to Paro. V'atchayena sayilad. First of all, the women supported their husbands with the work. And yet they still had to worry about the home. The Medrash says they used to go out and catch fish, and they would prepare food and bring them out to their husbands in the fields. And they didn't stop having kids, even though Paro made the decree six at a time. It's not so simple to carry six at a time, continuously. They kept on carrying six at a time. Afshar mitzvim, even though the mitzvim would take the little babies off of them and throw them into the yar. And when the men, gave up hope because of Kol HaBein HaYilod, and Amram, the Gadol HaDor, divorced his wife, and everyone else followed him, the women didn't give up, and his daughter Miriam convinced him to get back together with Yocheved, and because of that was born the leader who took the Jewish people out of Egypt. So let's review. The Shifra and Pua, Miriam, the women who gave birth to six at one time, even though the decree, Yocheved and Miriam, who were the ones who helped save Moshe Rabbeinu? Yocheved, Miriam. And the convert, Bas Paro, he says. And Bas Paro is also a woman who converted. And Amram gave up. He saw the teva. And he said, when they had to release, says the Rav Sarotskin, when they released the teva onto the Nile. So Amram looks at Miriam and says, oh, so where's your prophecy now? So Miriam, who hadn't, listen to these beautiful words. So Amram taps his daughter Miriam on the shoulder and says, you told me I should get back together because there's going to be Moshe and Shal Yisrael. Where he's floating on the Nile. Where's your prophecy now? Avo Miriam Akhtana Lonis Yasha. But Miriam never gave up hope. Vatesatsav Acholso Merachok Lideyar Mayasalo. Vanoshim Shesiknu is Atam Laholis Nisha Yisrael. Ulahachis Ayladim Negin Zir's power. These women who gave up their lives to keep the women alive. Zochu Shabbatim Shabbana Shem Yisrael. Batikuna Batimachos Yikra Al Shimon. Veloodoshim Gishator Brahma Vayaslam Batim. Lashon Zachar. Shanoshim Shabbos Adar. Dima Maseh Matomas Anoshim. The women were even more successful than the men. And elsewhere, so beautifully, Rav Soroskin also says, right? Listen to this beautiful pshat. No one else says the pshat, by the way. He has a beautiful vart where he says, oh, here it is. In Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf, Vayitev Elokim Lamialdos, God was good to the Mialdos, Vayarav Anvayatsim Mod. And the people multiplied and became very strong. Now, it's interesting, right? There's a famous Rashi. What was the goodness that he did to them? What was the good? The Pasuk doesn't say. What was the good that happened? Doesn't say. So Rashi asked the Kasha, what was the good that happened? Vayaslahem batim. Oh no, that was the good. Vayaslahem batim. See how the Pesukim go? Watch. Look at the Pesukim. Surely you have it inside. Look. Perek Aleph Pasachov. It says, Vayitev elokim lemialdos. God did good to mialdos. And the people multiplied. Vayi kiyora mialdos elokim. Since they feared God, God vayaslahem batim. So everybody and their grandmother learns that what was the reward? Everybody learns what was the reward? Vayaslahem batim. Rashi says, bate kun or bate levi. Rav Soroskin says, no, you didn't read the Pasuk carefully. Let's read the Pasuk carefully. Vayitev elokim lemialdos. And God did good for the Mialdos. What was that? Vayarav ha'am vayatsu ma'od. No. You know what the good was for the Mialdos? That the people became strong. That was the reward. These women gave their lives that Jewish kids should be born and that the nation should continue. What was their reward, says Rav Soroskin? Their reward was that Paro's decree didn't win and the nation became strong. Says Rav Soroskin. This is Perek Aleph Pasukov. Umahi ha'atava. What was the good? Vayarva vayatsu mod. Kischar mitzvah mitzvah. The reward for a mitzvah is a mitzvah. Meaning, look how he says it. If a guy puts himself in danger to fulfill a mitzvah, what's the reward? Roem es asham ayosei gadol batzlachas ha'mitzvah. If the mitzvah succeeded, that's the greatest reward you could have. The Mialdos who put their lives in danger to save the Jewish people so that the people should multiply. When they saw that the people taka multiplied, they said, this is the greatest reward that we were successful in our mission to save the Jewish children. Samchu simcha gedoyla. Ve'en lecha atava yosek gedol mizu b'sholat tzidkanios eila. There would be no greater reward for these tzidkanios than Klal Yisrael ended up becoming strong. The Ha'am Holech V'Rava. And they stood up to the test and they didn't listen to the king. And the people in fact were very, very successful. So we have the humility of Moshe Rabbeinu. You have the fortitude of the Jewish women. And apparently the men gave up. The men were not so strong in their faith. The men were not so strong in their faith. The women. The faith, the strength of the Jewish faith comes from the women. As we saw this week, I hope some of you were able to see the Mrs. Erloy from Eretz Yisrael, who lost her son, Binyamin, in the early stages of the war. They found a piece of paper, the 55 things that their son wanted to be. And you see the way she talks. I have some connection to her, not direct connection, but people told me, just she said to somebody this week, I'm completely whole and completely broken at the same time. Completely whole and completely broken at the same time. Like, she's 1,000% strong like crazy in her amunah at the same time as being broken after losing a child. Like I said, there's so much here. I'll just choose one or two more quick pieces. This piece as well. Pasuk says right in the beginning, Perek Aleph Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayakutsu Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. I'm sorry, we're going a little out of order. Like I said, today this week a little to plug in. Vayakutsu Mipnei Bnei Yisrael. The Egyptians became disgusted because of the Jewish people. And Rashi says, famous, Katsu B'chayeyim. What does this mean? Pasuk doesn't make any sense. I never even understood the Rashi, really. Maybe one of you could explain it to me. Honestly, the Jewish people started becoming great and great and great. So therefore the Egyptians viewed themselves as thorns? Ani lo mevin. Why, just because the Jews became great, did the Egyptians did the Egyptians find themselves disgusting in their own eyes? What does one have to do with the other? So he says here in Pasuk, Parak Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis, says, right, the more the Egyptians tried to afflict the Jews, v'chasher yenu oso kein yirbev v'chein yirfrutz, Hashem arranged them to keep getting great. Vayakutsu, says Rashi, katsu b'chayeyim. Now, so the simple pshat of Rashi is they hated the Jews. The Jews became hated in the Egyptians' eyes. But then Rashi says, some explain, no. Hamitzrim be'enei atzmam v'kasha lahavin. What does this mean? Says Rav Sarutzkin, listen to this pshat, very, very beautiful. Vayakutsu b'nei Yisrael. What does it mean? Says it means like this. Hamitzrim chashvu. The Egyptians thought that if we put them into servitude and we afflict them and punish them, that they'll become disgusting in their own eyes. Umovad precious derech eretz, and aside from the fact that they had to stop the marital relations because the kids weren't going to live anyway, maybe they'll turn to suicide. That's what they thought. Now, you could tell what's going on in the back of Rav Sarutzkin's mind over here. What's going on in the back of his mind? The Holocaust. The Holocaust. That's what's in the back of his head. He lived through the Holocaust. It's like, to me, bavust. Clear, that's what he's talking about. Avalo b'nei Yisrael katzu b'chayim b'nei Amitzrim. But the Jewish people didn't start to believe that they were the dogs that the Germans treated them like. That's not what happened. El ha-mitzrim katzu b'chayim b'nei Yisrael. The Egyptians became disgusting in their own eyes because of the Jews. Shalom nisyashu, because they had bitachon in the geula. They had a tradition that they were going to be redeemed. Ad kedei even as atzon ladas, the Egyptians wanted to kill themselves. Chazal dorshishim b'nei Yisrael. The Jews were like roses. Actually, not really roses. Shoshanim are not roses. What are they? The other kind of flower. What's a shoshana? Everyone thinks it's a rose, but it's not a rose. It's not like a rose among the thorns. What's the other nice flower? What's the other flower? No, not a rose. Everyone thinks shoshana means a rose, but it actually isn't. But anyway, whatever the flower is, it ran out of my head. It'll come back to me in a minute. Kishoshanim bein hachochim, like a beautiful flower among the thorns. V'nir levar shamitzrim ba'atzmam. When the Egyptians saw them persecuting and torturing and making life miserable for the Jews, but the Jews still had their heads up high and they had a tradition, they believed there was going to be galus. Berosim es kishon achaim shem yisal v'staglus lachios kivnei adam afil b'matzim yotzen aron mashpilim. That the Jewish people were willing to hold their heads up high even in the lowest. I'm sure Rav Sarutzkin is referring to what he saw himself with Jews amongst the Holocaust. Rois atzvam shvil v'nizim negim bnei Yisrael. They viewed themselves as disgusting as compared to the Jews. Hayotzim lavoras perak barosh muram, with their head held high. Uvakaras Yisrael and musari al manim. And at least being with the moral right on their side. Vayakutsu. They looked at themselves as thorns. Unbelievable. Today I saw a video, apparently happened today, that one of the boys who was injured very badly, I don't know if you saw that video today, of the bus stop. You remember a few weeks ago there was an attack at a bus stop and a girl was very seriously injured and a young boy. So all the guys from his yeshiva, high school, there's like 30 high school kids, 50 high school kids came and they went back to the bus stop and they sang. Like, well, what do you do at the bus stop, and what do we do at the bus stop? We sing shiras and shesbachas Hashem. So, vayakutsu mipnei bnei Yisrael, says Rav Sarutzkin, that deep inside, the Egyptians knew that even though we're persecuting them, treating them like dogs, and treating them, and we thought that they would look at themselves that way, vayakutsu mipnei Yisrael, when they saw how the Jews held their heads up high despite the persecution, they viewed themselves as thorns, as disgusting. As Pshat Rashi, that katsu b'chai atzmam. Do we have time? I know we're over time. Do we have time for one more? Let's try to give one more. One final one. I know I'm a little over time, but I started late. So we'll try to do one more. One more piece. So much good stuff here. Okay, last piece. Yeah, I know which last piece we'll do. Last piece. I'll try to do it very quickly. It's a little bit of a long piece. I'll try to do it very quick. The last piece is, here it is. Oh, this Ish Mitzri. All right, maybe that's too long. I'll just do the small piece. That's too long. We'll do a short piece. Beautiful. We'll close with a beautiful piece about Hakaras HaTov. Beautiful piece. So Moshe gets thrown out of Egypt. He runs away. They want to kill him. He goes to Yisro, and he saves Yisro's daughters at the well. And the Yisro's daughters come home, and what happened? Oh, Ish Mitzri, this Egyptian guy, he goes on a lot about Ish Mitzri, that Moshe Rabbeinu got punished because he was referred to the Ish Mitzri. He never lived in Israel. He didn't know about Israel. So Yisro says to his daughters, "Va'ayo, where is he? Why'd you leave him out there? This guy just saved your lives, and you just leave him out there?" Says the Aznayim Torah. We'll close with this verse. So the Medrash says that who else said, where? Who else in Tanakh said, "Oh, and where is she? Where is she? Aye Sarah Ishtecha. Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "He neighbor Oel." So I'm not sure. Vayo. Hispala Yisro. This is Perek Beis, Pasuk Kaf. Where is he? Yisro was amazed. Shahanodeid Shehitlos Banav, this wandering nomad who saved his daughters and gave to drink all of his flock, didn't use this time to maybe come to the house and ask for refuge and maybe work. The Garb of Nosef, so he was amazed that Moshe didn't come in to ask to stay by the house. And he was also upset at his daughters. Why did you leave him outside there alone? Lama Zavtan Seish. The Chazal Darshu, this is a medrash. I never heard this medrash before in my life. Never heard this medrash before, but Rav Zalman Sroth goes, Va'ayo, Shemu Meyosu Shembo, Aye Sara Ishtecha. So apparently there's very few places in Tanakh where it says, where is he? So Yisro said to the daughters, where is he? And the angels said to Avram, where is your wife Sarah? What's the tzushtel? What's the comparison between the Yisro saying to his daughters, where's Moshe? And Avram saying to Sarah, and the angel saying to Avram, where is Sarah? Says Rav Zalman Saratsky, Ratzaloma, Shehamida shel hischamkus milakabel toda. Wow. What's the common denominator? The common denominator is refusal to accept thanks. Refusal to accept thanks. Hischamkus milakabel toda. Sherab mitzri hazeh. Yisro saw in this mitzri, like he just went ahead and did what was right. Then he didn't want, don't pay me. Don't give me anything. He didn't come. He didn't ask for anything. He just did he did right because it was the right thing to do. Maskeres is midasa shel Sarah. Shechina suda l'malachim. Sarah prepared a whole meal for the angels. The hachnasas arachim is taloi be'ikar be'isha. And when the angels wanted to like thank her for the food that she made, where was she? She was ayes. Where was she? She wasn't around. She didn't stick around waiting for the thank you. She didn't stick around waiting for the thank you. So to me, this lesson, the other piece that I was going to talk about before is that Moshe Rabbeinu grew up in the house of Paro so that he could be a leader. He had to go through a lot of difficulties because a real Jewish leader deals with difficulties. But here, he's saying that a real Baal Chesed doesn't do Chesed because he's waiting for the thank you. He's waiting for the thank you. If you're a guy who's waiting for the thank you, Then you're not really about chesed. You're not doing it because it's the right thing to do. You're doing it because you like when people say thank you to you. A lot of people do a lot of things in the world, and if you're waiting for the thank you, you know we do the right thing because we serve Hashem. Hashem can't give us that thank you in this world. Our main thank you comes in the next world, and happens when I like ask people to get honored at like dinners and stuff like that, like. Like, it's, don't worry. It's like your real thank you for what you do comes from the Rabbanu Shalom. He gives the thank yous. He's keeping score. I'll just close with this. A very well-known rabbi once, I'm sure I mentioned this in the Shir over the years, once said that the reason why there's such burnout among rabbis particularly is that no one ever says thank you to them. Because the rabbis burn out. So I don't know. I think that that was... I didn't really buy into that so much, because if you're in it for the thank you, then you're not in it for the... You're not in the right profession. We do what we're supposed to do, not for the thank you. We do what we're supposed to do because this is the Ratzon Hashem. It's the right thing to do, to be generous, to be caring. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, he saved it. He wasn't waiting for the thank you. Sarah served the food to the Malachim. She didn't hang around for the thank you. We don't do it for the thank you. We do it to serve Hashem. So, again, I apologize. I was a bit late. We had a little issue going on. Bez Hashem, next week we'll be back with sheets, and we'll be able to give the shiur. But thank you for coming in. We should, everyone should have a great Shabbos.
How's the cough?